gives it up to Kojo. Kojo spins, two on the clock, shot block. It's grabbed by Fox. Lead out, Monk streaking to the basket. En masse, Kings fans come to their feet for the two-hand flush from Malik Monk that makes it a one-point game, 110-109. Fox now drives, gets into the paint, squares up, draws the foul, scores the basket! The first time since the early minutes of the ballgame when the Kings led 8-7. They are on top, 111-110, 24 points now for Fox.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Our Kings Roundtable will be in an hour with Frankie Cardicelli and Brendan Nunez, our two Kings insiders for Sacktown Sports. That's going to be great. That's actually our first actual roundtable. Somebody, one of them's been missing at every one. So it's going to be great to have the two of them. Bring your calls in. If you follow Frankie or Brendan, you know they do outstanding work. If you don't follow them, be sure to do so. Get your calls. This is a very kind of conversational situation. Get your calls in. Get your texts in. We'll read them to the YouTube chat. Keep it rolling as well. As we wanted to break down some of the, I guess, options and what could happen in the in-season tournament. So the most simple piece of this is that the next time they play will be at home against the Pelicans.
Yes, yes, very much so. Yeah, very, very simple. Kings, with the win yesterday, finished the in-season tournament 4-0. The only other team to finish 4-0 was the Lakers. Kings get the 2 seed, Lakers get the 1 seed. And they will be, the Kings will be playing the Pelicans, the 3 seed, and then the Lakers will be playing the wild card 4-seeded Phoenix Suns.
So you beat the Pelicans, and then you would have to go down to LA, or at that point it's in Vegas?
It's in Vegas at that point.
Okay.
So, yeah, Kings just need to beat the Pelicans to head over to Vegas, and then the rest of the tournament will all be on neutral site in Vegas.
Wow, so you just got to get one, yep, and then you're off to Vegas.
Yep, and you're getting an extra opportunity. If you beat New Orleans, you're going to get an extra opportunity as well against a divisional opponent, which will be interesting, I guess, and could potentially play into a tiebreaker as well. So if the Kings play, we'll say the Phoenix Suns, because they haven't played them yet. So if the Kings beat Phoenix in the next round of the knockout tournament, they will have 4 more games against them. So instead of splitting that season series, there will be a definitive winner in that divisional series, which really only plays into a factor for tiebreakers at the end of the year if they're tied with the same record.
There you go. Okay, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And look, I think it's starting to grow on people. I'm trying to think of a comparison of something that doesn't represent the biggest prize, but you're still really happy about it, right? Because a win is a win is a win. And in life, as Nate looks at me, in life, you want things to celebrate. Even, if, you know, the tiny victories, that's what life is all about.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of one. I mean, like, it's not like winning the NFC Championship or anything like that. Because I watched the Niners do that several times.
Because it's not over. Because you haven't either played or lost. You know what I would call it? I would say that you've been trying to get a promotion. Right? You've been trying to get a promotion.
Okay.
Right? Okay.
Okay. I'm on board.
Okay. Relatable. Okay.
Yeah.
Trying to get a promotion.
Maybe just a job.
Can I finish?
Yeah. Sorry.
You've been trying to get a promotion, and you're kind of far away from it, right? You don't know how far, but in the meantime, okay, before you have your final review, you did get a raise, right? You got a small raise. It wouldn't be as big as a promotion. That's not to say you still won't get the promotion, right? You're going to have your review in a couple months. Uh-huh. But in the meantime, you got a nice raise. You get to take your significant other out to a nice dinner. And hey, we're moving in the right direction. It tells us that we're in a good spot. It's a small victory. We still want that promotion. We're still going to work hard to get that promotion. But at least in the meantime, we got this nice raise.
That's a fair analogy. So the promotion in this case is the NBA title?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, of course.
I just want to make sure, because I'm on board.
There you go. If you think of a better one, 9-1-6.
No, I'm impressed with how you just, that just off the top of your head like that.
There you go.
My mind does not work like that.
916-339-1140. Let's get to the phone lines. And Emmy, I know you want to talk about Sasha. What's up, Emmy? You're on Styles and Watkins.
Hey, guys. First of all, I'm very, very happy that he played yesterday 15 minutes, because if he hadn't played, I was nervous. I was cursing the coach, very mad that he didn't put him on cue the last minute of the quarter. Very happy. I hope he plays tonight. And I just want to, even though I know I'm not that much of a Kings fan, I hope that GP2's injury is not as serious as it looked like, because it's very sad. There is no report out here in the Bay Area yet what it is, but it's not looking good at all.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Emmy. Absolutely. Emmy is one of our P1s on YouTube, so thank you, Emmy, for calling in. And we know you love Sasha. That's one thing that we couldn't wait to get to either. Sasha, and what you have the numbers. His net rating was ridiculous. It's from our guy, Will Z Stats. Net rating, offensive ridiculous. Defensive ridiculous. Net rating ridiculous. They had him on Steph. Sometimes he was the blitzer. Sometimes he was the primary guy.
Yeah, this is, as you said, from Will Z Stats, our guy, advanced ratings from last night. Sasha's offensive rating, which is the points per 100 possessions, 137.5, which was the team high from last night. Defensive rating, 87.1, which was the team high, putting the net rating at 50.4, which was also a team high. Mm-hmm. He was incredible yesterday, and I could not believe it. I mean, he didn't check in until, I want to get the exact moment here, I believe it was the 3-minute mark in the third quarter, where the game had kind of, obviously it wasn't decided yet, but at that point the Warriors had definitely established themselves, and the Kings had already thrown multiple counters at them, and it did kind of feel like a little bit of a last ditch effort where Mike Brown's like, all right, I'll throw Sasha out there. Mm-hmm. Maybe he'll hit two or three threes and it can get us back into it. But he did so much more than that. Sasha checks in for Sabonis at the 3:30 mark in the third quarter. Does not ever check out again. Plays the entirety of the fourth quarter, plays the rest of the 3:30 in the third, finishes with a plus 17 in those 15 minutes. The Kings outscored the Warriors by 17 points after Sasha Vezenkov checked in. Definition of a game changer. I know De'Aaron played great yesterday on defense. He guarded Steph. We have De'Aaron's numbers when Steph was guarding him yesterday. Steph was 2 of 9 from the field yesterday when De'Aaron was guarding him. So I understand why he gets the defensive player of the game crown. Mm-hmm. But to me, it felt like Sasha, in that just short amount of time, made so much impact, especially on the defensive end, which is the side where that was the question of if he was even going to be able to stay on the floor because of his defense. And I think he looked comfortable, he looked calm, and he just looked like he belonged last night.
It's a sign of how good of a coach Mike Brown is. Yeah. And I look, when things get said, I don't got to tell a fan of any sport, things get said when things aren't going right.
Of course.
That you'd like to take back.
Of course.
After your team ends up winning. Because I'm sitting over there, and meanwhile, Warrior fans think that it's rigged for them.
Of course.
But I'm sitting over there with some of these phantom calls that are happening against Kings fans, and I'm thinking, Mike, we've seen you yell at Malik Monk. I think at one point, I'm going to be very honest with the audience here, because that's what we do here at Sactown Sports, Styles and Watkins. At one point, I think I was saying, Mike, you should try, get tossed. Just get tossed, Mike. That's where I was at, because he's so cool, calm, and collected. Meanwhile, Steve Kerr, sometimes Mike Brown gets after it, it's never with the refs. Yeah. I haven't seen it with the refs. It's always with his players, right? Whether he's excited, whether he's ticked off, it's with his players. Steve Kerr, and again, you follow what's interesting about basketball, and really all sports, you have two head of the snakes. Mm-hmm. You have the coach, right? It's almost like a two-headed snake, right? You have the coach, and then you have the player, captain guy. Mm-hmm. And both Mike Brown and De'Aaron Fox, I wouldn't say they're similar in terms of their personality, but on the court, they kind of are, right?
Because they have similar temperaments. They're
similar. They'll get after reserved, but not really. Yeah. Whereas Steve Kerr, I mean, you you're no Draymond. But see, we heard about that story with Michael Jordan.
That man complained.
We heard about that story with Michael Jordan. You went fisticuffs with Michael Jordan. Yeah. So we know, Steve, you're about
He's got a little action too.
Yeah. So
little ish to him.
Everybody kind of molds to that as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when I look at Mike Brown and I look at how he has got this team to buy in and defensively, and if you had told Mike Brown or Chris Watkins that Sasha Vezenkov is going to stay in for his defense against the Warriors,
two blocks,
Chris might have left the studio.
Yeah,
I would have to do the show by myself.
Yeah, I might have laughed you out. I would have been like, "Bro, you're crazy. There's no way." And it's been 16 games now, I'm not going to say he's figured it out, and now he's Kawhi Leonard, but he didn't look like he was out of place. Like, they put him on Steph Curry, for God's sake. Like, not just using him to blitz Steph, but there were moments where they had Sasha chasing Steph around the court, and I couldn't believe it. I thought his mobility yesterday was the thing that really, I don't know if they've been working on his body, I don't know if they've been working on his conditioning, but my vision of Sasha coming into this year, and maybe this is more so on me for assuming, but I kind of thought he was a little bit more of like a plump, not plumpy, but just not as, you know, like a little bit more like Nemanja Bjelica body type. Not necessarily, like, I think he's actually
Saric?
Saric, sure. Yeah, you know, just not a beacon of physical fitness. And I'm not saying Sasha is that, but he's a lot more trim and a lot more mobile, a lot less clunky moving than I would have thought. Yeah, he looks like he's got a Peloton or something where he just cut a ton of fat. Like, he looks really good and he moves really well. And I'm shocked, honestly, at how well he's able to move defensively.
Got to get to a break. When we get back, talking about trimming, talking about cooking, are the Warriors cooked? Cool. We will get to that sound. And how good should the Kings feel about this win? They got a game tonight. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Klay Thompson open, ball stripped out of his hands by Monk. It goes to the backcourt, save to Curry, fires for three, barely ripples the netting. Curry with the triple, 5-point Warriors lead, 119-114. Curry now has 24, his third made triple of the night in 9 attempts.
Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking up to 2 p.m., 45 minutes. We will have our Kings Roundtable with Frankie Cardicelli and Brendan Nunes, our Kings insiders for Sacktown Sports. Get your questions in, and we'll ask them who their dogs are. Who are their dogs for tonight's game? Because they got a game tonight, and that is when we will start to transition over to the Clippers game. But it's hard to leave. It's hard to leave this feeling that we have beating the Warriors, and everybody is feeling good about it. When it comes to the game tonight, Chris, there is an article out about Russell Westbrook and kind of the fan situation. That'll be interesting. As we said, if Draymond can get through a game at Golden One with those fans, Russell Westbrook better not try any, "Well, I heard this or that." Russell, you're going to hear Westbrook and just, just come on. Just you got to just take it, man.
Yeah,
you just got to take it with a grain of salt. Just cry until just use your $100 bills for tissue. That's all you got to do, and you'll be fine and dandy. Are the Warriors cooked is ultimately the question as we begin our transition away from the Warriors until the Kings see them again. Is it March?
Yeah, should be March. I mean, there's no reason for these two teams to play each other for a very,
it's
very
enough.
Long time.
It's enough now.
More
so
than enough.
Here's Charles Barkley talking about whether or not he feels like the Warriors are cooked.
As I told y'all, this team is cooked. Y'all thought I was crazy. Out of way last year because Steph went crazy in Game 7. Sacramento should have beat them.
It's two different things.
No, I'm saying, and with Candace's point, Steph, he gonna start slowing down too. They got an old team. Everybody slows down. People forgot last year. Sacramento went there. They was like, they gonna win Game 6 at home. Sacramento went in there and kicked their butt. Then I said, man, Sacramento, I picked them to win that series, but Steph went crazy. He's not gonna be able to continue to do that. Because those other guys aren't the same either. They're older. This team is cooked. they're not a contender. And everybody's, I was like, dude, it's nothing personal. That's like last year when Klay went crazy on me. I said, dude, I love Klay. Klay's not the same guy. Draymond's not the same guy. Wiggins has never been that guy. And then you factor in, Steph has already been hurt this year. And one thing I know about old people, they just get older. They don't. You older people don't. Wait.
Steph Curry is not playing anywhere that looks like he's slowing down.
At all.
Not even close to it.
When you start getting hurt, and he's been hurt the last couple of years, that to me is when guys. That's when you know age starts taking over.
Boom.
I think he's spitting facts. Like, I know Candace and Kenny don't want to hear it. They want to
not keep... on Steph. I think Steph is still rolling.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
But that's not... I don't think that was Charles's point. Like, I don't think anyone was saying that Steph is... I mean, maybe he did say that Steph has lost a step, which he definitely might have lost a step. It doesn't seem to have affected him. But I think the bigger point is that the other guys are... Like, of course, we see unique special talents. They're able to keep their level of excellence up for longer than what your typical normal average humans can, but it's the normal people. Klay, I think we thought was superhuman, but he just, I think the injuries have caught up with him and he's just not going to be the same guy that he was in those early Warrior runs.
It is interesting though, because I do wonder as I come back from an Achilles myself, and Klay had the Achilles and the ACL, it was all about the jump shots, right? Yeah. Klay's game isn't based on highlight reel dunks. He's not Ja Morant or Derrick Rose, so Klay would be fine. I would love to have a doctor on the show to just figure out if it's just a matter of the muscle memory, if it's the Achilles getting tired. I mean, there was a video of Klay, I think, pulling a truck up a hill during the offseason. It feels like he's fully healthy. I don't think Warrior fans get as nervous anymore when you see him fall. So is it in his head? What is it? Because I don't think his game is incredibly different than it was pre-injury.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it could just be, you know, again, like maybe just wear and tear from those injuries where he can't get the same lift. Maybe he can in first quarters, but he just wears a lot quicker what he did before. Or, you know, it could be a variety of things. Maybe it just doesn't feel the same. Who knows? I mean, when you're that fluid of a shooter, it can be the slightest twinge in your knee or something when you fully extend that kind of just throws off your rhythm. I'm just making things up here, but there's tons of different reasons why, but it's clear the bigger point is it's clear that he's not that guy, and I don't think this is some, you know, year and a half long shooting slump that he's been in. This is just this Klay Thompson 2.0 or 3.0, whatever you want to call
it. He did have the most made threes last season.
Oh, yeah,
that's what everybody was saying.
But that's high volume.
Yeah.
That's also high. That's Klay Thompson is Klay Thompson, so we're going to still have. And he shot, I think, 42% or something crazy like that last year from three as well. But he's really just that. I think that's the problem is Klay was special because of. Yes, his offense was out of control.
Are you calling him Kyle Korver?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying that
Chris Watkins just called Klay Thompson Kyle Korver.
He's a glorified Kevin Huerter. No.
Yo!
No, I mean...
Who's got better defense right now, Klay Thompson or Kevin Huerter? Who would you take? Actually,
I'm saying...
916-339-1140. Who would you take on your team right now? No, we gonna get... No, it's a Wasabi Wednesday.
It is. It sure is.
Who are you taking on your team right now?
Yep.
Kevin Huerter or Klay Thompson?
Yep.
Respectfully.
Respectfully. I mean, if you factor in the fact that Kevin Huerter is significantly younger.
It's all the factors, Chris.
I kind of want to say Kevin Huerter.
That's the correct answer.
I mean, I think that, again, the thing that made Klay different than Kyle Korver's or than Kevin Huerter's is he was an elite, like a capital E elite defender.
Yeah.
He would guard Kyrie Irving in the finals for 7 games. And of course, you're never going to stop Kyrie, but he made it life incredibly difficult on those guys. He doesn't have that anymore. You can't throw Klay on people. You can't throw Klay on De'Aaron Fox, maybe like they would have done 8 years ago.
Right.
And that's huge. Like that really does. It doesn't diminish. I mean, it does diminish his value. It doesn't make him worthless. It doesn't turn him into, again, just Joe Harris, but with better PR or something. But it does take away the magic or the superpower that was Klay Thompson, especially when you factor the fact that he's also not shooting like he was before. So it does feel like, to Chuck's point, like these guys might just be a little bit past their expiration date. Like, I think it feels like last year we all kind of thought that, and then they were able to summon the magic one more time and get through that Kings series before ultimately being eliminated pretty easily by the Lakers, who, oh yeah, got swept in the following round. Like, I think that there's a possibility that this has kind of been in the works for a couple years, and now is just, there's no more juice left. There's no more magic left to be squeezed out of this lineup. And I think they thought that maybe adding Chris Paul, an older veteran who is also working for a ring, I think they kind of believed internally that that was going to be the juice that could help them manifest another season. And I think that they just found out that, you know, they just added another 35-plus-year-old person to an already old roster, or aging roster, I should say.
It's not fair to do this, but I have to, because I asked a question. Kevin Huerter is making $16 million.
Yep.
Klay Thompson is making $43 million.
Yes.
I it's not fair.
You can pretty much have three Kevin Huerters
with
that
insane
contract. You can pay Kevin Huerter three times.
Baby, don't hurt me. That's three of them. That's three of them. All right, we got to get to it, but I'll put it to you like this, and I can be on record here. As presently constructed, mm-hmm. and I don't know if they're in the OG sweepstakes or the Zach LaVine sweepstakes, as presently constructed, that roster that just played last night with the Warriors, I will be on record, they will not win a championship.
No.
They will not win a championship.
No, not even close.
Not as presently constructed.
Not even close.
There's no way.
No.
And 0%. They could have won last night by 20, and I would have felt the same way. People are not going to believe me, but they just don't have it.
No.
If the reason that hurts so much, I know Nate's saying we got to go. The reason that hurts so much is because they don't have very many of those games left.
Yep.
They have about 50, and they're praying.
Maybe. Between the three of those
50
guys?
And
maybe.
55.
Yeah.
Right? How many? And they're just assuming that they're going to win those games, and they lost one last night. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we have a funny story between Mike Brown and Malik Monk, and Malik Monk being that Monk Yard dog stepping up for the Kings. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Creeping forward. Now in two-point range. Backs out. Hooks a pass to Huerter. Huerter swings to the right side to Monk. Attacks the baseline. Jab step. Now he keeps the dribble alive. Gets in the paint. Tough ball away. Bank shot is good! Malik Monk somehow banks it home. 7.4 seconds to go. 124-123 Kings. Here's Curry. He'll try to get a shot off to win it. It's on the way. It's front rim short. The Sacramento Kings will advance in most dramatic fashion. It's 124-123, and full-blown late-season pandemonium reigns at Golden 1 Center.
Pandemonium, that's really what it was last night. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. During the crossover, Carmichael Dave asked me if I had experienced anything like it at Golden 1 in my short time here. Absolutely not. The question is, have I experienced anything like that? I'm trying to think off the top of my head. In general.
Yeah.
Man, so Mother's Day, I don't know how many years ago it was, the game where Zaza undercut Kawhi. I was there with my little sister and my mom.
So you were about to see the Warriors lose. And
get
then
smacked, and I paid for everything. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man. And, you know, my little sister doesn't really follow sports like that. She's like, oh, my goodness. Why do you pay money if you don't know whether you're going to be happy or not? I'm like, will you be quiet? This is not the time at all. And my mom is like, it doesn't look good for the Warriors at all. Warriors ended up coming back in dramatic fashion. But that one was different because the Warriors ended up taking control. It wasn't a last-second shot or anything like that. I'll have to think about that. But it's definitely up there. It's definitely up there in my short time here. We asked the question before the break, 916-339-1140. Who would you rather have, Klay Thompson or Kevin Huerter, including contracts. 530 says, give me Herter over Clay today.
Ooh.
It sounds like a crazy question, but I don't know if it's as crazy as everybody thinks. I mean, if you look at what Kevin Herter has done this season,
mm-hmm.
he's got on some heaters.
Yeah.
Right? And we're over here celebrating Clay breaking 20. Okay? So it's hard to not include the history.
Yep.
But you got to at least think about this, at least from a – now, this next contract for Clay is really the question. He's at 43. There's no way he's going to be close to that. Yeah. He's going to be in the mid-20s if he's lucky, right? It keeps going down.
Is he going to make less than Draymond, though? Like, if he stays with
the Warriors – 25.
He has to make – yeah, that has to be the number because, I mean, he frankly should make less than that.
And I would even ask the question, would you rather have – Klay Thompson, it's much harder question, but Klay Thompson at 25 or Kevin Herter at 17, I still think it's closer than what some people would admit
yes.
because one's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
But, you know, keep them coming in, having great discussions. The YouTube chat is popping right now, and the text line's been great, and the calls have been great as well. As we get to just another funny circle. Right? A funny cycle with Mike Brown. We had the Keegan sound a couple weeks ago when Keegan says bleep you and he was going to get taken out of the game. Mike Brown is a gift that keeps on giving. I think we said he's the most outside yeah. of the court, mm-hmm. right? Or outside of actual gameplay interviews. Got to be one of the best. I'm really happy for Kings Media and being a part of Kings
so
Media because he really gives you clips. There's so much coach speak.
Every time.
And there's nothing to talk about. Mike Brown will give you something to talk about. He's going to act like he's someone else. He's going to give you an exaggeration yep. here or an impersonation. So it's all great stuff. So here is the circle. So to set this up for you, and Chris, you'll probably help me out here.
Sure.
Mike Brown went off on Malik Monk. What was this? During camp.
Yeah, it was a couple months ago during training.
During camp. And all of us, and it was about Malik Monk complaining about calls.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look how the tables turn. And Malik Monk now goes at the coaches and says, you guys got to stop complaining about calls. Here first is Coach Mike Brown going absolutely off
insane.
On Malik Monk.
I got to chime in on this one real quick.
Mm-hmm. Please.
So that's screaming, right? He's screaming, and it's obviously so uncomfortable for everyone.
It's uncomfortable for me.
How relatable is that when everyone's just like silent, yeah. and then they're like, oh, okay, guys, let's go.
Yeah. Come on
like,
now, let's
like
go.
When someone gets into, like a couple gets into a fight you're
right.
with, and they're screaming at each other,
yeah.
and then you
yeah.
got to like go off and do... You know, pretend like it didn't happen,
right,
I guess.
Right.
So rough. It's
yeah.
rough to listen to,
it,
for
it's
sure.
It's a rough list. I mean, yeah. I want to say I'm feeling uncomfortable. I'm like, man, I'm glad I'm not on yeah. that team in that moment. Now, here is the cycle. Now, here is Coach Mike Brown talking about Malik Monk and how he said, hey, guys, you told me. Now it's time for you to not complain either.
We were starting to get a little carried away. As a staff at the officials, and Malik came over and scolded all of us coaches. He said, hey, leave the officials alone. You guys need to be quiet. And I'm glad he did. You know, we all got to be held accountable. That was probably the only thing that got a little testy is when Malik told us to shut up, and we were kind of looking at each other. Did he just do that? Yeah, he just did that. Okay, maybe we should listen to him. And we did. And once we did that, in my opinion, that's when we took off.
Wow.
How about that?
You got to ask Doug about that. If you have on or something. Like, what was that interaction like? I'm so curious.
Yeah.
That is awesome that he did that.
I love that Malik was probably waiting for that moment, too. He was
100%.
Like, I cannot wait for y'all to start chirping
right,
up.
Right.
And the first person who's going to tell y'all to sit down and shut up is going to be me. And it's great. I mean, you know, you have to love that. Like, you have to love that even if Malik is joking, like, to have that in that moment as well to just kind of, it, like, that's a relaxing moment. Like, clearly, emotions are high, tensions are high. If the coaching staff is yelling at the officials, again, that's pointing at maybe they're not focused on the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
How about Malik to have the presence of mind or the clarity or the relaxed nature to then, whether he's joking or not, go up to his coaches and say, "Hey man, y'all got to like y'all were yelling at me to chill. How about y'all chill as well?" I think that's great. Like that's awesome, and that's what Malik is there for, is to bring that light energy. And when things are getting tight, I would love to see that in further situations and playoff situations. That's what guys like JaVale McGee and Harrison Barnes are supposed to do, is calm everybody down when emotions are at their highest. And I would just never expect that to come out of Malik's mouth, is
right.
for him to be a guy who's like, let's chill, let's focus on the game, and let's just go out there and play. And that's awesome from a dude that you just wouldn't expect it from.
Yeah, and Malik Monk is 25 years old. He's right in that sweet spot of beginning his prime. Yep. He's seen a lot of things, from Kentucky to being labeled a bust in a way, in certain ways, to now kind of finding his footing. So I really think he's in that sweet spot to where he's not over the hill, but he's also not too young. He's got that respect.
Yeah.
And all I'm seeing, Chris, whenever any of this stuff comes out, or whenever I watch Malik Monk play, there's no way you can let Malik Monk walk.
No.
I'm sorry.
No, this team would be a massive crater.
Yeah.
You just can't replace him. That's the thing. It's like, especially if you're talking about letting him walk, well, what does this team look like if they don't have Malik Monk? It's a completely different squad. And so, yeah, I mean, with his upcoming free agency coming up, we talked with Biederman yesterday about his conversations with Malik about it. It seems like that should be priority number one, is to get this man locked up long term. And I don't know what those numbers are looking at. We're talking about Kevin Herter's contract and Klay Thompson's ridiculous contract and what his next deal might look like. Feels like Malik's going to make himself a nice, if I had to guess, like $20 million, if Herter's at 16, how realistically, if you're Malik's agent, how are you not going to say, look, we all love Kevin. Kevin's a great shooter, but you're trying to tell me that Kevin's more important or more valuable to your franchise than my client, Malik?
Yeah.
There's no way. I mean, the amount of reliance that the Kings have on Malik, his performance last year in the playoff series, like they can't be this Kings team that they're building towards without Malik Monk.
Right. And the question becomes, does Malik, if you pay him, and if he stays in that 20 range, you don't have to start him. No. The question is, does Malik want to be a starter?
Yeah.
And then I would ask, if he becomes a starter, does he have to change the way he plays at all? Yeah. If he's playing with De'Aaron all the time, we saw a flash of it last night, and I wouldn't say it was fine.
Yeah.
I don't think it was like, wow, we need to see more of this, or
it's not like they unlock anything in each other.
This again. So they have a lot of questions, but one thing is this. That's why y'all get paid the big bucks.
Yep.
Monty McNair, Mike Brown, figure it out.
Yep.
Because you cannot let this guy walk. If you have to convince him to continue to be the sixth man, convince him.
Yep.
But you
pay
know
him more if that's what it takes.
Like on Friday when Smokey goes, this ain't enough. Make it enough. Figure it out and get it done. All right, gotta get to break. When we get back, are the Kings who they thought we were? Styles and Watkins, Stackdown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking up to 2 p.m. in 15 minutes. We will have our Kings Roundtable with Frankie Cardicelli and Brendan Nunes, our Sacktown Sports Kings Insiders. Chris, I posted this 15 minutes ago. I'm at 56 votes. Who would you rather have, including contracts, Kevin Herter or Klay Thompson? 56 votes so far, just 15 minutes ago. Kevin Herter, 68%. Klay Thompson, 32%.
Ooh, okay.
When it rains, it pours.
That's
and it's
surprising.
Raining in the Bay Area right now. I saw, you know, my guy Bonte out there with an umbrella. Stay dry out there, Playboy.
Yeah.
Stay dry out there.
Weather's wonderful over here.
It's wonderful. I might go golfing today.
Mm.
You know, wife might let me go golf. I might have to go out there and golf and have a grand old time. All right. Are the Kings who we thought they were?
Mm. It feels like they're starting to get there. I think the fact that they've played through so many injuries this year as well, I think and they still have the record they do, right. I would say yes. Because, I mean, would you even say, I guess the Kings haven't even played a game technically at full strength yet. If you were to say the same full strength that was last year, like, they have not played a game where Keegan and Trey Lyles played in the same game. I believe when Trey Lyles entered, that was the first game Keegan missed, which was the second New Orleans game, and then the Friday game in Minnesota, and then, of course, yesterday as well. So, and then also missing De'Aaron Fox for five of those games as well. I think so. I mean, of course, is this team exactly what we thought they were going to be? No. I think we kind of expected the offense to be similar as last year, if not maybe better. And I think we expected the defense to be similar to last year as well, if not just slightly better. And the offense has been worse by percentages. And I think even by eye test wise, it hasn't looked as clean or as fluid. But clearly, they're making massive strides defensively. Now, that's not massive in terms of they're now a top 10 defense, but it's a they were an absolute turnstile, terrible defense last year, and now we're seeing that it's not killing them, and they're keeping themselves in the game by playing defense. And you know, yesterday in the second half, they outscored the Warriors 69-51 in the second half, and largely in part because of the defensive strategies that they implemented, the blitzing Steph Curry, they played more physical. They've played more physical in general this year on defense. I would say success-wise, yes, the Kings are who we thought they were. It just hasn't looked, I think, how we expected it to look.
When's the last time you looked at the defensive ratings?
It's been probably about a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks.
Okay, this would be a fun game. Nate, you can get in on it too. Nate, you go first. Where would you say the Kings are rated as far as defensive rating? Where are they ranked?
I think they're in the middle somewhere. I'll go upper middle, 13.
Yeah.
Okay.
13th.
I think they were around the middle last time I checked. I feel like they were at 17 or something last time I checked a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you're setting us up here.
No, I would never do that.
Allen would never ask questions. He's just asking
being
questions.
A little sneaky. Ask questions. Sneaky styles. On a Wasabi Wednesday.
That's right. Keep it going.
We'll say 15th. We'll just say right down the middle. I'll say the Kings are 15th.
I was 13.
13. Keegan Murray. 15.
Yep.
Your Sacramento Kings.
Uh-oh.
Are number 10 defensive rating.
The Kings have a top 10 morning. Defense?
The Kings, your Sacramento Kings, have a top
Hold
10
on.
Defense.
Can we restart
Without
the
Fox
show?
Playing for a significant chunk, too.
That's right.
Wow.
Sasha Vezenkov.
Big part
Second
of that.
Second half dominator, Sasha Vezenkov.
Missing Keegan Murray for a couple games.
Yeah.
Missing De'Aaron Fox for a couple games.
Alex Len, Trey Lyles.
Your Sacramento Kings
are
ranked 10th in defensive rating.
I quite literally never thought I would see the day. That's incredible. And again, I mean, that just points at the fact that these guys have really bought in on the defensive side of the ball. They're not just like, but coach, last year we were so good on offense. Why don't we just continue to do that? We won 48 games playing that style. Why are we gonna switch it up and all of a sudden put a whole lot of effort onto the other side of the ball, especially when it impacts the offense? And I think we're seeing why. It's because, I mean, if you have without playing good defense, the Kings don't stand a chance on a night like last night. I mean, in a night like last night, that's 140 to 120 and the Kings lose. You have to be able to defend to keep yourself in those kind of games to prevent yourself from getting out of it. And again, last time I'm going to bring up Houston and New Orleans for this.
Someone's
going to
get on you, man.
But man, they continue to get on me for it. But man, that's what, again, is so frustrating is they just gave up, because in today's NBA, we saw it last night, you're never out of it. You are never out of the game completely until that final whistle, or until, you know, you're down 25 with 4 minutes to go in the fourth. The game is not over, and defense is the biggest part of it. You have to string together stops. And last year, that was the problem. That little stretch at the end of the game last night where the Warriors turn the ball over and they don't score for the last, I think, 2 minutes of the game or something like that. That doesn't happen last year because the Kings, in tight game situations, needed De'Aaron Fox to go crazy, because They were just trading baskets right. back and forth. And the Kings now have the ability to string multiple stops together. That's how you actually win in the postseason as well. Like, that's how you beat good teams, is by stopping them, not just by trying to outscore them. Look at the Pacers this year. They're a really fun team. They're pretty much doing exactly what the Kings did last year. They're probably going to finish this year somewhere around 500, if not a couple games higher than that. But they're not going to have success in the playoffs, because at the end of the day, you just have to play defense if you want to win in this league.
And De'Aaron Fox, during the postgame last night, his mindset was, somebody was asked, hey, when you get down, how do you, what's the thought process? And De'Aaron Fox said, well, this league is a game of runs.
Yep.
And basically, they were down as much as 24, I believe. Yep. And De'Aaron Fox said, when it got to 24, as simple as this sounds, when it got to 24, we just said, let's just get it to 15.
Yep.
When we got it to 15, then we just get it to 10. That's all we have to do to kind of stay around. And going into the fourth, I think they might have been down, was it 13? Or they got it to 9 at the beginning of the fourth? It was two buckets at the beginning of the fourth, and I think they might have got it to, it might have been 10 even. It might have been 10 even or 9, and I think everybody, including the Warriors, they know, because the Warriors have done it to many teams, that, hey, once you get under 10, once you get to 10, you're in the danger zone.
Yeah.
That's a couple buckets.
And shout out the Kings for I mentioned this yesterday on the live stream, but they did the Warriors thing against the Warriors. That third quarter is normally the Warriors' quarter, right? That's right. Where they make the halftime adjustments and they take off, and that's where the game becomes out of reach. Kings scored 40 points in that third quarter and outscored Golden State by, I believe, 11 points in that third quarter to bring that game close. Like, they were great last night in that second half, and it was a, I mean, obviously it was the reason why they were able to to get the result last night, and it was massive, and the defense was a huge part of it.
Yeah. So the question, when you look at what the Kings have done, we posed yesterday, is can you win the gritty wins? Right? Can you win the gritty games? We even compared the Kings to the Niners,
right?
In a way. And when you look at these numbers, at 45% field goal percentage, 34% from three, 64% from free throw. Now, look, we've been very positive here with the Kings. As we get ready to talk Clippers and get ready to move forward, there are some negatives that we will hit, and we will obviously hit the free throws. De'Aaron continues to say, yeah, I got to be better from the free throw line. We all know that, yeah. Right? You have to be better. How are you going to get there? So if you read off those percentages, that is a team last season to the Warriors. Now, to compare, Warriors, 47% field goal, 40% from three, 86% from the line. You'd probably assume that the Warriors won that game. Mm-hmm. And they answered the question, they answered the call last night, the Kings did. They can win the gritty games. When the shots aren't necessarily falling, they can still get it done. And I think that is the biggest thing. I mean, Malik Monk, 3-for-7 for three from three. Kevin Huerter, 4-for-7. Harrison Barnes, 2-for-5. Harrison Barnes, shady good game from Harrison Barnes, right? He was kind of that Band-Aid that they needed. You have De'Aaron Fox, 2-for-8, right? So not a great night from three-point land. And they fought through it, right? We know most teams, that's the thing, it's not even a Kings thing. Most teams are going to win when you shoot the way the Kings shot against the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
Not that all teams have the ability to shoot like that, but if you get on a heater, yeah, you kind of just put your foot down and you can win that game. A lot of nights aren't going to be like that. A lot of nights are going to be maybe not as bad. Some nights are going to be worse. So what do you do? And I think that's the most impressive thing. I would have been less impressed. I would have been happy, but I would have been less impressed, dare I say, if the Kings came out and shot like that. I would have been impressed, I guess, for different reasons.
Right.
But I would have been less impressed the way I am after this gutty, gutsy win if the Kings came out and shot like they did against the Timberwolves. Because that's how you win.
Yeah.
That's how you've typically won.
That's almost like not an easy victory, but like, yeah, right. Of course. Like, yeah, you shoot 45%. You're going to win a lot, but what's it look like, again, when you're not hitting shots and, you need to win a dirty, gritty game and you need to hit timely shots instead of hitting a quantity of shots? Like, I think that's huge, and it's great for, again, just having this team win in multiple different ways, not having them feel like, okay, we're not hitting our shots, and so we just can't win. Having that, almost proving to themselves that we are capable of beating teams in multiple, and maybe even in their own style, like in the other team's own style. I think that's huge for the Kings moving forward, and, you know, especially when they might feel uncomfortable in certain matchups against the Pelicans or Timberwolves or long, lengthy teams, having that level of confidence is huge.
Got to get to a break. When we get back, our Kings Roundtable will begin with Frankie Cardicelli and Brendan Nunes, our Sactown Sports Kings insiders. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.